Now we turn to the Word of God to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 22. We would like to read the first 5 verses of this wonderful chapter. How wonderful it is to recognize the beginning of the Bible and also the ending of the Word of God. And what a wonderful contrast, as well as compliment, we find that to be. Reading of the paradise in the Garden of Eden, but it was the paradise that was lost. We thank God for the paradise at the end of the Word of God, which can never be lost, when those redeemed ones will be with the Lord. We do rejoice in the blessing that shall be the portion of the redeemed forever. Chapter 22, reading the first 5 verses only. John, writing by the Holy Spirit, is saying, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the tree of Eden on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." May I read the last phrase again? The closing section and the closing words of the prophetic book of the Revelation, really. "They shall reign forever and ever." May God bless the reading of His word and give us the joy of being blessed tonight by the continued study and the concluding one regarding the hope of the church. May I be reminded together with you, my fellow believer, of the words that John the Apostle, when he wrote in 1 John chapter 3, those wonderful words, verses 2 and 3, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." My beloved fellow believers, you and I, who have had the joy of contemplating the hope of the church, and particularly touching upon those great outstanding features of the future that shall be ours, may we realize that hope should have a purifying effect upon our present testimony and our present heart while here in this room. What a hope it is. We have noted, first of all, the great, wonderful events of the rapture and the translation of the saints. Some resurrected from the grave, those who are living, to be called up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then we be reminded that when that moment comes, it will begin an eternal fellowship and glory of ours to be forever, not for a while, not for only a portion of time, but to be forever with the Lord. We have the joy of recognizing another of that great eventual hope in relation to the judgment seat of Christ. And may our hearts remember that before we shall be crowned with glory and united to the Lamb in marriage, we shall meet the Lord Jesus to be afraid, and everything put right, corrected, and all that needs to be warned will be done in that coming day of His appraisal of His Majesty. This morning we have the joy of looking at the first great feature of that hope, and that is the marriage of the Lamb. One can think of those precious words that a hymn writer has penned. The blind eyes not as honest, the third ear blind of faith. I will not gaze as long as that on my kingdom grace. None of the crown is given, but on his pierced hand. The land is all the glory of the hand of land. All the joy of realizing the damage of the land. When the church redeemed, glorified, purified, perfect, and to be the perfect object of the land protected forever, will be united forever to be his bride. What a privilege and what a prospect. The fourth great teacher we would like to emphasize in our concluding message is in regard to the church and its kingdom glory. The glory of the kingdom that is to be shared with our Lord Jesus, who will be the universal head of all that new creation, as well as preceding the eternal king. He will be the glorified king over all the earth, of in the kingdom of the heavens here below. May I first of all suggest very simply a fourfold presentation of the glory of that kingdom that will be manifested when the Lord comes. For we have the greatest truth, and I speak now not of its importance, as much as of the quantity of the truth that you may read in the Word of God. There is more written concerning the kingdom in the Word of God than any other subject. Oftentimes, we may be criticized for making much of the second coming of Christ. Beloved, you and I that study our Bible, we find there is much more in the Word of God about the coming glory and that coming kingdom. From the days of Adam, down through the patriarchs, down through the children of Israel in their history, as well as in the New Testament ages, there's ever been the prospect set before God's people of a kingdom of glory. And even in that so-called prayer that is often called the Lord's Prayer, though it is closer to ours, there is the expression, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What joy to realize thy kingdom is coming. The kingdom of the heaven will be upon the earth. Heaven will be ruling and governing the earth in that coming day when our Lord returns. First, let me present to you what will be one of the greatest glories of that kingdom. It will be the personal glory of the King himself. The personal glory of the Lord Jesus. Zechariah in chapter 14 and verse 9 writes, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. What a day that will be. The personal glory of a worldwide kingdom. That men lost after today. That men in the past have sought to achieve and never accomplished. And which today we shall find even in true coming days. There will be the manifestation of a kingdom of power and glory that has never been known humanly speaking, but will be satanically inspired. When in that day of the great tribulation, there will be the manifestation of the power of evil in two of the greatest impostors as well as lawless characters, the beast and the false prophet. That they will soon be destroyed at the coming of the king. But when the Lord comes, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Isaiah well testifies concerning that blessed one. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, which we may certainly be well familiar with. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And then Isaiah goes on to declare, and his name is called Wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Gracious Peace. And what a day that will be when our Lord personally reigns over all the earth. Oh, what a day that will be. His personal glory will fill the earth as the King of Kings. Let me please quote very briefly the words of Revelation 1:7, the key verse of the theme of the whole book, praying by the Spirit through John, behold these honors, with clouds, seeing clouds of glory, and every eye shall see him, even they that sit in and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so amen. His personal glory. Oh, may I bring it to your heart, my fellow believer, in this particular manner. Today is not glorified on the earth. We talk and speak of his name to those who know him not. And that name is rejected. His strength and his love may be burned. And then his thousand to be pining. A heart responds when presenting the Lord Jesus to us. That name is often blasphemed. More than blessed upon the earth. But what a change it will be when his name shall be known throughout all the earth, and it will be great. So his personal glory will be indeed part of that kingdom glory. Then briefly let me suggest, Israel will be glorified as a nation. Or may I say, there never will be any peace upon the earth until Israel is straightened out by God. Until Israel as a nation is brought in reconciliation to Jehovah. And what a day that will be when the nation of Israel and shall indeed be in their national glory. I think of the words that are found in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. The context reveals that coming glory preceding this verse that will be known when the Lord will be king over all the earth. And Isaiah writes, they will say in that day, Jehovah is our God. Jehovah is our lawgiver. Jehovah is our king. He will save us. These are words that the nation of Israel, the remnant, the godly, preserved, redeemed, and glorified remnant, who will acknowledge their Messiah in that day, will certainly utter, acknowledging him as being their judge, as being their lawgiver, as being their king. And they will acknowledge his governmental power and authority over them. The judicial branch of his government will be in his control. The legislative branch of his government will be in his control. As well as the royal branch of his government, the executive branch will be under his control. He will be the judge. He will be the lawgiver. He will be the king. And Israel, under their blessed king, will be greatly blessed, we know. Individually, may I say, concerning the glory of that nation, in that coming day, the remnant of those who will be its earthly people, individually, every one of them, is going to be a priest and a minister of God in relation to all the world. What a day that will be. Every one of them will be calling preachers, if you please, in their evangelization and distribution of the holy word of God and the preaching of his glory throughout all the world. And corporately, they're going to be a holy nation. One of the purposes of God regarding the people of Israel can be read in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and verse 6. And amongst that, which is the purpose of God revealed, was that they would be a holy nation as well as a peculiar people. And God will say, my delight is this. May I speak rightly? I question if you find a nation on the earth before it can be divided. And we are nearing the time when thus we realize surely the day of Israel's glory must be at hand. When in through the purification of the great tribulation, the nation will be purged and the remnant will be corporately a holy nation. What a day. geographically? Oh, may I say, there's no peace for the world until he first gets to Israel. The land. One may go over there. I recall going over there. And all of it was called a trip to the Holy Land. But I didn't find much holiness when I was there. But then in that coming day, it will be holy. Read the end of Zechariah's prophecy. Where even in Jerusalem, all the pots and the vessels of Jerusalem, and everything, and even upon the bells of the horses, Zechariah writes, there will be written holiness unto the Lord. Oh, the prophet, even for Israel, a holy nation, as it will be, and the land. You ever hear that expression, view the land? You find the expression in the book of Isaiah, chapter 52. And the land will be called Beulah, meaning, by God's word, my delight is in her. And may I say frankly, God's delight does not rest upon Israel today and the land. But it will, when Israel will be glorified. And politically, oh beloved, if you're interested in politics, which I hope you're not very much, but if you really look at the political situation of the world, God's going to make political in Jerusalem the capital of all the earth. And from that center, the administration of the kingdom of the Lord upon the earth will be made known. And you'll want to just briefly say, the kingdom glory, not only the personal glory of the Messiah, but the glory of the nation of Israel. Then what should we say about the nation? Oh, thank God there's going to be a change even for the nation. For we are told in the prophet by the prophet that many and mighty nations shall come, and they will join themselves to the people to the Lord, and they will become, God says, my people, as he writes it in the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, as well as in chapter 3. The nation! Remember the prophecy of Joel, I think it is, in the first chapter, and the desire of all nations shall come. And the redeemed from among the nations, when the sheep and the goats are separated at the judgment of the living nation, the sheep will enter the kingdom, and the Lord saying, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation, from rather the foundation of the world. And the nations will be blessed, and there will be universal subjection to Christ in that day by then. They will worship him. They will obey him. They will honor him. They will indeed serve him in that coming day. Beloved, what glory there is yet to be, not only for the Lord personally, not only for Israel personally, as a nation, as well as individual Israelites, redeemed in that day, but also for the nations who will be amongst the nucleus of the millennial kingdom when the Lord begins his reign. So we like to go further in relation to our subject. The hope of the church. What about the church? What about the church? Many times you will find that there are many believers. They speak one to another regarding what they believe will be the portion of the church. There are some that believe that the church will be upon the earth and come back to the earth to reign. Well, what does the scripture say? What do we find in the scripture? Where is the church? First of all, where is the church during the millennial reign of Christ? Is it in heaven or is it upon the earth? Do they share in the kingdom glory? Oh, let me first of all say definitely, they will share in the kingdom glory. That is assured of that. First of all, let me suggest, which indeed may be proper to begin with, I wanted to dwell particularly on the church thing. Think of the prospect that we mentioned in relation to the rapture. Let me quote the words of the Apostle Paul, not from Thessalonians, but from 1 Corinthians 15. When Paul writes, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be saved. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, incorruptible, and we shall be saved. For this corruptible, meaning the body which is placed in the grave, must put on incorruption. And we that are mortal, living at the time, must put on immortality. Will you please consider with me? The body of the believer in that wonderful day, that wonderful moment. What a change. What a change. We will not have these earthly bodies of limitation. We shall possess a glorified body. Let me mention with you the precious truth. The saints will not have any longer an earthly body. Can I repeat it? Now don't mistake the idea. I didn't think that I have a body. We'll not have an earthly body. We shall have a heavenly body.
And how often is that body of flesh? No wonder Paul said,
United created Rome this Sabbath. Glory for deliverance. Who will deliver me from this body of death? The limitations and the hindrances of the human body, even in spiritual life. He was keenly conscious of until the Lord showed him the way out to live for the victorious honor of the Lord Jesus. But in that day, our beloved, thank God, there will be a spiritual body. Verse 46, how did it that was not, or verse 45, as it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam, as it is Christ, was made a Christian spirit, one who gives life. How did it that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, afterward that which is spiritual. Now notice we read the next two or three verses. The first man is of the earth, perfect. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The first man is Adam. The second man is the Lord who came from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Oh, beloved, just take it in. A heavenly body. A heavenly body. Paul writing to Philippians chapter 3 verse 21. Telling that our conversation is in heaven. From which we look for the treasures of God. Who shall change this body of humiliation and sacrifice like unto his own glorious body? What a day that will be. My beloved, look. May I say we need spiritual and we need glorified bodies for what will be our portion in the ages to come. Tell you one thing, you'll never get to the Father's house without that change. And neither will you be able to travel over the universe in that coming day of glory without that body. God gives it a body that is suitable to that new heaven and new earth that is yet to reach. And may I ask, by way of injustice, that the lofty eternal hell will be raised and have a suitable body that will be suitable for that eternal torment. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. Oh, what a hope! What a hope! Paul writing in Romans 1 declares that that hope, the redemption of our body, in this one we groan, desiring indeed to be clothed upon as the one from heaven. But in this one we groan, desiring, waiting for the adoption. That is the redemption of our body. Oh, we have saved my hope. Beloved, the hope of the church is every believer is going to have a new, glorified, spiritual body, not earthly, heavenly. The church on the earth will have an earthly body. Israel will have an earthly body. Every redeemed Israelite will have an earthly body in that millennial day. Every saint Gentile in the kingdom of the earth will have an earthly body. That's a lot of faith, say it. Let it drink into your heart. Rejoice. No matter how bad you feel physically, you're going to have a heavenly body. And you ought to be howling, hallelujah. To realize the wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The sooner the better. And the sooner the quicker. But the joy of knowing there's going to be a change like that. And what a change that will be. And it's glorified bodies. Now be ready to. And this is something we Christians should never forget. The church is heaven born. The church is heaven fed. The church is heaven bound. And the church is destined to be a heavenly people forever. Very rich is it? Heaven. All you need to do is read the epistle to read Jesus. And the emphasis upon the fact, oh, blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And positionally, even in Christ, seated in heavenly places now. And in the end, it should come to be the display of the riches of His grace and of God's kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Beloved, please let me say it. I do not boast. I come the truth of the Word of God. The church is going to be the most beautiful testimony of faith in the universe. I cannot understand it. I cannot give a reason why it should. But none of us are more worthy than the others upon the earth. But it is free God in the mystery of His purposes to create for His dear Son a bride, a heavenly body, a heavenly people, sometimes called the body of Christ, the house of God, a lampstand, the household of faith, and a city, as you have it in Revelation chapter 21 and even in 22, a city, a community of heavenly faith. Please let me say, recognize the place of honor and glory that the bodies of the saints comprising the church will have in that eternal day. Now you may raise the question, will you come to the earth? Maybe. But let me say, like the Lord Jesus after His resurrection, our appearance will be the same. If you have to reach it, I don't know if you need to worry about it. I don't think you'll lose any weight if you're under the earth. You don't need to join the weight watching. That spiritual body is perfect for that. And please let's remember, now I can't tell you all that you'd like to know, and I can't tell myself all I'd like to know. There are neither male nor female in heaven. I remember many years ago, wife and I always took children to Sunday school. And we load the car down, sometimes I had as many as 13 in a coupe. And one time as we were traveling to the Sunday school, I heard one of the little fellows in the back saying to the other, another one, there'll be no women in heaven. I said, Buster, what do you mean there'll be no women in heaven? Tell me, Mr. Grandma. The Bible says we shall all be like him. Oh, well, Mr. Grandma, I don't answer. That was just a little fellow's opinion. And to describe that body? Oh, we cannot describe it in a physical way. The dominating illustration of the dominating description of it is it's a spiritual body. And it will be suitable for that heavenly climate and conditions in the glory of God. Oh, what a body it will be. And yet it will be one like our Lord. There's no doubt. It can go through the door. It can go through the roof. But it will when the saints come. Now, if you've got any other problems, try and think them through. Let me know what the decision is. Because I can't answer all of them. But how wonderful to realize. The prospect, the glorified body of all the believers. Now let me quote what these words. When Christ comes back to the earth, the church is going to share the kingly glory that is manifested when He descends. We read Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, these words. When Christ shall appear, so shall ye also appear with Him in glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I believe in verse 8. The apostle writes to console the believers of Thessalonica for their trouble, tribulation, persecution, and the wickedness of their oppressors that they were enduring. And he consoles them with the fact when the Lord shall come in power and in great glory and in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes, He's coming to be glorified in His name. My beloved, please let me say, when Christ descends from heaven in glory and all the saints that come with Him, the world is going to see. the world is going to see not only the appearing of the Lord, but the army of saints coming in their bodies of glory. May I go even further? Humbly but I faithfully believe it. We shall be more glorified than an angel. Angels may be one, the holy angels. Said, oh, please let me say, we're not going to be made like an angel. We shall be like him. We shall be like him. The radiance of Christ. No angel, as far as the scriptures reveal, radiates the likeness of Christ. How could they? They never became human to be redeemed. But here is God redeeming mankind. And in his purposes of glory for them. They all are like his beloved son. My, what a sight. What a sight. Myriads of saints coming down with him and appearing with him in glory. Now may I stop speaking in that manner? Realize the glory that will be ours into the church coming down with it. Let me go a little further. The preeminence of the church saints during the kingdom age. Preeminence. Or may I say, much as will be the greatness of Israel's glory, the church will be far above Israel in its glory. The church will be far above Israel in its glory. Naturally, from the scriptures it's easy to see that. Israel, as a nation and people, are going to be subjected to the reign of Christ. They're going to be his subjects. He's their king and Messiah. They are his people as a nation. What about the church? My beloved, may I say this. I revel in the thought. The church is going to be his wife. How do you know I can love her? The church is his wife. If you want to, you can liken it to the king and the queen. The queen says, in all the glory that is personal of the king, in his position and in his honor, and she's higher than the subjects in the kingdom. Oh, my beloved, please let me say it. Our nearness to the Lord Jesus, will he not down with Lord? Nearer to him, nearer to his heart, nearer to his person, will he the church say? His bride? Oh, beloved, I say it gratefully, I'm glad I was saved during the church age. You may marvel, wonder, and be amazed that some of the Old Testament word is intelligent. You may sometimes wish you were more like them. But may I say, look, is there a church saying you're even there? No Old Testament says, blessed and powerful as they may have been and are, never had the privilege that you and I can and will in relation to Christ and being his bride. Co-regent with Christ, that Jews belong to the kingdom, the church is his wife, that Jews are God's earthly people, but the saints of the church is heavenly people. You know, if I wasn't saying that, you would long to be. To be amongst that people, a heavenly people. All the spiritual blessings of the church are greater and they're higher than the earthly blessings of converted Israel. Then may I further say, if you read your Bible, we don't have time to read all that we could have done in Revelation chapter 21, for instance. For in chapter 21 of the Revelation, we have the description of that glorious New Jerusalem, that Holy Jerusalem. And it's from that heavenly Jerusalem that during the millennial reign, the kingdom upon the earth will be governed. And the radiance of that heavenly city will shine upon the earth, and the nations shall walk in the light of it in that coming day. May I go further to say, look, You may wonder what part that the church has in the millennial kingdom in its annual praises. Listen, it's from that heavenly city where we shall be, and we shall comprise that city of heavenly things. It's from there the administration of the kingdom of the heavens upon the earth is governed and administrated. And so that holy city Jerusalem upon the earth, that earthly city will be the center of an administration going out to the earth, that it gets all of its glory. It gets all of its administration of holiday from the heavens. Let me think with you very quickly of what the Lord Jesus told Nathaniel. When Nathaniel came to him and confessed, "Thou art Rabbi, thou art the King of Israel, thou art the Son of God." The Lord Jesus looked at him and said in John 1:51-52, he said, "Greater things than these shalt thou see. In the regeneration of the Son of Man, ye shall see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." What did he mean? One picture of Jacob 3 in Genesis 28. A ladder stretched from the earth to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Beloved, please let me say the Lord Jesus is just saying that he did to Nathaniel. He's saying when he's on the throne of his earthly kingdom, there will be administration responsibilities, not only on earth, but on heaven above. And there'll be communication. And if you've never signed Jacob's ladder, you may have a chance. But nevertheless, it's a link that communicating with heaven above when the kingdom of the Lord is reigning upon the earth. Hallelujah. And I'm glad I'll be on the heavenly side. No, beloved, what's going to realize it? And then, from the words we read of the commencement, chapter 21, verse 1 through 5, there we have the eternal glory of the church. Will you please note the words we began reading very quickly? In chapter 21 and verse 1, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The destruction of the present universe, as we now know it, will have taken place. The final great judgment of the white throne will have been concluded. The destiny of every unsaved person already executed. Nothing more needs to be done. Everything is finalized. And when all is done, John describes in the first 5 verses of the new creation scene. A new heaven, a new earth. The first earth was passed away. There was no more sea. And now John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband." And then I give you the thought, you can certainly find it fulfilled in the scripture. "But after a millennial reign, after 1,000 years, he's still alive. The church is still in bride. Oh, beloved, may I say the bridal beauty of the church will never be lost. Her bridal adornment will never fade away. And then in that eternal day, that city community of heavenly strength will come down in the center of the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth, to be the administrative center of the universal kingdom of the mastery of heavenly strength. What is well said, in that day there'll be a new name on us. In that day there'll be a new song in us. In that day, there'll be a new heaven above us, a new earth beneath us, a new Jerusalem around us. And in that day, there'll be new revelations of Christ before us." And as you and I read these words and have read them regarding this new Jerusalem, all that is written, as you may read in the context of the whole chapter 21, telling of the description of that perfect city, that perfect paradise of God, the new Jerusalem, has a bride belonging to her husband forever. Aren't you glad I'm not going to live down here forever? How about you? Oh, the joy of knowing
The whole body of the church applies forever the blind of the land
with a blind of beauty is everlasting for me. Never a spot, never a blemish, never a wrinkle, nor any such thing. Like it, and to be the perfect object of his heart. Well, did King and Garvey write those wondrous words? And is it so that I shall be like thy son? Is this the grace which he for me has won? Father of glory, thought to none though for his glory, to his own blessing, like his cross, hallelujah. And what a glory it will be in that day, a perfect being, the perfected temple of God, no temple there in that minute, the proximity and nearness of the heart of God and the heart of Christ will be her portion forever, and to be, as we read in the first 5 verses of chapter 22, to be in that glorified paradise. Back in the first paradise, the devil said to Adam and to Eve, ye shall be as God. In the paradise of God, we have read it in this chapter. His likeness shall be on our forehead. The devil never kept his promise, such a liar. But here at the end, God brings his redeemed into a paradise. They are like in more of beauty and glory forevermore. In the first paradise, man was defeated. In this paradise, no. He never will be defeated. He sent our reign we read forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Can you take forever in? Oh, good lovely. No disease in that paradise to come. There was a river running through, a river of water running through Eden in that paradise of long ago. And in our chapter did we not read of the river of the water of life, as you read it in chapter 22. You can find it there if you please. The river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding not to Eden, but from the throne of God and of the Lamb, with their eternal blessings. In the first paradise, Adam was made Lord over all the earth, and he lost his lordship. But oh, thank God, the Lord Jesus is going to be Lord over all the universe that is yet to come. In the first paradise, the sun was created. In the last paradise, there's no sun. There needs no sun. No the moon. There needs no light. As we read in verse 5 in chapter 22, there shall be no night there. There needs no candle. In the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Oh, beloved, I have not seen, well, did the apostle write it, he has not heard, neither have it entered the heart of man, the thing which God has prepared for them that love it. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Oh, may God sanctify these truths, the blessed hope, the glorious hope of our Lord's return, the rapture with the resurrection of the saints, synonymously at the same time. The judgment seat of Christ, when the rewards will be given, and all that has been wrought will have been consumed by the fire of judgment to be managed forever, and then to be presented to Christ himself, a perfect bride. Hallelujah. And then coming with him, reigning with him, not only through the millennial kingdom, but forever and ever. Talk about a fairy story. This is even there. For it's the truth of the word of God. Shall we pray?
Oh, Father, how we thank thee. Oh, how we thank thee for the hope of the church. Lord, we need to be lifted up. We need to be cheered. We need to be encouraged. It's there on before, Lord. And you've made it very clear through thy precious word.
what life before thy mediation was. No wonder the Lord Jesus said, then let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Lord Jesus, we're waiting for you. And we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. For when you come, we're going to be with you forever and ever. What a prospect, and what a promise. May the promise grip our souls, heal our lagging spirit, comfort our feeble minds, as well as strengthen our testimony to the Lord God. We ask you giving thanks in our Savior's worthy name. Amen.